Good morning.
You would please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. That's where our lesson will be coming from. Ephesians chapter 6. This morning I'd like for us to, for the next few moments, concentrate and consider the power of prayer. Our theme has been for this year, living in a broken world. And everywhere you turn, whatever news source or outlet you feed off of, you've been hearing a lot of terrible things happening in our communities. People have been abducted. Little babies have been raped, murdered. College girls have been sold into the slave trade. People are just doing a lot of terrible things. We live in a very broken society, in a world that's falling apart. We live in a time that it seems like it's never been this bad, but it has. But it's going to get worse. We can't stop the tide. We can't stop society from being evil, but what we can do is, as the scripture teaches, we can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We can make sure that we are living as Christ would have us live and make a change one heart at a time. Influence one person at a time. Romans chapter 5 verses 12 through 15, we're told that sin entered through one Adam and life entered through the second Adam, through Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, speaking about the resurrection. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45 says the same thing, that through the first Adam, death reigned. Through the second Adam, Christ, we now have life that is reigning. If we're not equipped to do battle, we're not equipped to fight, we're going to lose. And I want to submit to you this thesis that prayer is a battleground of where we're going to do most of our fighting on this earth. Prayer is a time when we are going to be attacked by the devil. Ephesians 6, what we're going to read here shortly, is going to talk to us about putting on the whole armor of God. And he tells us why we need the whole armor of God. Because our battle, our warfare, is not with physical things or against physical things, but it's against the devil, spiritual in nature. If you recall the times that Jesus prayed intensely, he was doing battle. So we need to make sure that we're equipped to do battle. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able, notice this, to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Put on the full armor of God, because our fight is not with a literal sword or guns. We're fighting against rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're fighting against the devil. And therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And that evil one there is the devil. Well, he goes on to say in verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We need to pray always, as he goes on to say in verse 19. Paul says, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, in speaking about prayer and wisdom, James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But when you ask of God, when you pray for that wisdom, you need to pray with faith. You need to pray with the attitude that God is going to give you what you're asking for. And if we're not praying with faith, and we're on that battlefield to fight against the devil, against these powers, against these dominions in the heavens that he mentions here in Ephesians chapter 6, then we're going to lose. Amen. Again, Ephesians 6 verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. The Bible is full of people praying. You can read in the Old Testament, David did a lot of praying. You can read about Moses praying and the prophets praying. How God commanded the prayer both in the Old and the New Testament. It was God's way. It is God's way of having this open line of communication with His children. We read in John chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, Jesus' high priestly prayer, asking on behalf of His disciples that when He goes away, when He's crucified and then taken up into heaven, that they won't scatter. He says, and all things that are mine are yours and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given them, that they may be one even as we are. So even Jesus teaches us that it's important to pray. Jesus, God in the flesh, is praying here, asking for direction. We read about victory prayers in Exodus chapter 15. When Moses and Miriam sang a song. And it says there in verse 1, then Moses and the sons of Israel sang the song of the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. And it goes on to just talk about how victorious they had been because God helped them. And when we pray to God, we need to understand the different type of prayers. This one is giving thanks to God for overcoming whatever battle they were fighting. They're in this, the prayer of thanksgiving. You recall there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, where Hannah was not able to have a child, and she was finally blessed with the child, and she promised to the Lord that she would dedicate that child to the service. And she says in her prayer, the Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, He also exalts, and He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. As she's leaving her son in the care of the priest, and she goes back home, she's thanking God for giving her a son. Psalm 77, we read about Asaph's prayer of despair. How he is so lost and not knowing which way to turn. So there in Psalm 55 and or 77 verse 1, my voice rises to God and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God and He will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night of my hand was stretched out without weariness, my soul refused to be comforted. Then in Psalm 51, we read about David's prayer of repentance. Now he was so sorry that he had ruined the lives of several people. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, verse 1 and 2. Wash me, in verse 2, thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Then there's a prayer of dedication. Prayer of dedication is when Solomon prayed to dedicate And notice how it says there in verse 6, or verse 14, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 14. And he said, O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping covenant and showing loving kindness to your servants who walk before you in all with all their heart, who has kept with your servant David, my father, that which you have promised him. Indeed, you have spoken with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. All of these prayers illustrate sincerity and dependence. But yet we get to the prayer in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, the prayer that I've titled the one as a fake prayer, where the Pharisee is standing there looking at God or looking up to heaven and saying, God, I do all of these great things in your name. I tithe, I give 10% of all of several things, I fast, I do a lot of things, and I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this miserable tax collector to my right or to my left, wherever you might have been. I thank you that I am holier than they are, or that he is. That was a fake prayer. God wasn't listening to that prayer. But what about that tax collector? His attitude, if you look at verse 13, the tax collector standing some distance away was even unwilling to lift up his eyes because he knew that he was a sinner. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, Paul is asking or saying that he has prayed on behalf of the church. Those are eight different kind of prayers rather quickly that I've given to you. But let's get to what I really want us to talk about. Go back to Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. In verse 17, the scripture says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation, that he might enlighten you. That's chapter 1. Now, verse 18 of chapter 6, he says, pray with all supplication, with all petitions, because we're battling the devil. Our warfare is that of a spiritual nature. Paul describes this conflict between Christians and the devil. He describes it by telling us that we need to put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. But notice most importantly in verse 18 that the power is not in the armor itself, but it's in the prayer, and the prayer said with faith. Prayer was the deciding factor. It's always been a deciding factor. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8, when the Israelites had come out of Egypt, and then the Amalekites start attacking them, Moses says to Joshua, I want you to take the men, the ones that can fight, take them out and get ready to fight. And Moses goes to the top of the mountain and he raises the staff of the Lord. And every time that the staff of the Lord is raised up, the Israelites are winning the battle. And then Moses' arms start getting tired and his arms start dropping and they start losing the battle against the Amalekites. So then they come and they prop up the arms of Moses and put rocks underneath his arms and he sits down so his arms can stay up. But as long as the arms of Moses were up, as long as the staff of the Lord was up in the air, that represents prayer. As long as you and I are praying and praying in faith, we're going to win battles. Amen. Then there's the example of there in Genesis, Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Many times we're not fighting, or we're never fighting against God. Sometimes we're fighting not only against the devil, but against ourselves. Jeremiah says, I will call upon you and you will answer me. 33 verse 3. Remember Jacob when he was running away from his brother Esau? He had defrauded his brother. He had acted a fool, done all kinds of terrible things. His mother had helped him to be a liar. So he's running away. He doesn't know where he's going. He's just running away because his brother wants to kill him. And then he has this fight. where he's battling against or wrestling, there in Genesis 32, verse 22, wrestling with God or wrestling with the man is what it says. And many have taken that to mean that Jacob was wrestling with God or some type of divine being. But you know who Jacob was really wrestling against? Against himself. Against his own will. Many times you and I aren't willing to give up when we're praying. To give in, to humble ourselves, to empty ourselves of ourselves. And that's why prayer is not effective. Several of you are going through some trials right now. But it's just so overwhelming. You feel that you're hanging by a very fragile thread. And any little thing is going to bust that thread and you're going to collapse. You're fighting a spiritual battle. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says, ask and you will receive. It doesn't say ask, you might receive. Ask and if I feel like it, I'll give to you. But he is telling us very forthrightly with the attitude, with the spirit of faith. Ask with confidence and you're going to receive. And I think that we're all mature enough to understand that he's not talking about the BMW that you want. But he's talking about victory, about overcoming, about being strong. We often contend with ourselves. We often fight, as I said with Jacob. We fight ourselves. And that which the devil uses to attack us is indifference. And unconcerned when we pray. How many times have you been listening to a public prayer? You hear the noise, but you're not paying attention to what's being said. You know, one of the things about prayer is that when it's over, we're supposed to say amen. And that means I agree with everything that has been said. And if we haven't been paying attention, you better hope that what they prayed for is something scriptural. Sometimes our attitude is that of indifference. We don't really care. And we might just be praying just because that's a habit. Well, that's not a prayer that's going to help us on the battlefield. Sometimes the tool that the devil uses against us, in addition to indifference, is unbelief. And we take lightly what God has promised us if we pray. As in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, if you lack wisdom, you need to ask God, and you need to ask as if you had, or rather ask with faith as if He's already given it to you. And here's an example of that faith as if God has already given it to you. Remember when Abraham was told by God, I need you to move from Ur of the Chaldees. I'm going to take you to a land. I'm not going to tell you where you're going until you get there. Then as they're leaving, God has blessed them. They're moving. He's blessed them because his wife isn't arguing too much with them. And they're traveling. And they get in a difficult situation where they have to go through Egypt. Now Sarah's old by this time. But she's not too old where people are looking at her and say, man, she is a very attractive woman. So Abraham says to his wife, you know, Sarah, we're going to go through here and they're going to kill me thinking that you're my wife to take you. So you need to tell them that you're my sister. So I don't want to die. So they lie that Sarah was his sister. And God sends a punishment, he punishes Pharaoh. And the Egyptian king realizes, hey, I've taken another man's wife. And he comes, gets them together, and Abraham says, yeah, I lied. He says, why'd you lie? So he releases them. He does this not once, but twice. Now this is where I'm getting at. When he told them to move from Ur of the Chaldees, it took some faith to do that, but not this much faith. It took this much faith. And as they're traveling, God is testing them and giving him more tests so his faith can grow, right? He gets to Egypt. His faith is not strong enough to still believe that God is going to help him get through. So he lies. But as time progresses more and after more and more tests, the faith that Abraham now has it's really grown to the point when God says to him, you're going to have a child in your old age, even though your wife is sterile and has never had a child and she's old, you're going to have a child. He believed it. And he did have a child. Only one child. And then God says to him, now I want you to take that child and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. The book of Hebrews we read. Around the book of Romans we read that in Abraham's mind, when God said, I want you to kill him, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice, in Abraham's mind, he was as good as dead. Now, why would Abraham say yes to God? I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice, your only son. Because Abraham's faith had grown so much. Remember when his son says, Dad, I see the fire. I see the altar. But I don't see the animal. And Abraham's response was what? The Lord will provide. And he puts his son, which was probably about 15 to 17 years old, on that altar, strong enough where he could, or old enough where he could have fought against his daddy, but he submitted himself to his father's will. And he's about to take that dagger and slit his throat, and he stopped. And at that moment, there is a ram where the Lord did provide. Again, what convinced Abraham to do this? His faith was this big at that time. Now, do you think that Abraham could have done this had God asked him to do this at the very beginning when they were still in Ur of the Chaldees? Faith was small. Wouldn't have done it. I mean, he lied about his wife being his wife. But this is why we need, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, the full armor of God. We need to be dedicated in prayer so that when we are confronted with these situations in life, these tests, these trials and tribulations, we need to be strong enough where we can overcome. Because if you're weak at one point, this is where the devil's going to attack you. And sometimes that weapon that he uses is a weapon of unbelief. In Isaiah chapter 59... Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. All the way to verse 8. Another tool that the devil uses against us is sin. Our sins. The Lord's ear is not so heavy that it cannot hear, his arm not so short that it cannot reach out and help us. But it is our sins that have made a separation between man and God. And then he goes on to talk about those sins all the way through the 8th verse. Sometimes we feel that God's not going to hear me because my sins are so great, so big, he won't hear me. I'm not even going to try because I've messed up so much. The devil uses these things to convince us, and it's true that while we are actively living in sin and actively and purposely doing these things, we don't have a relationship with God. But when those things are removed through repentance, there's forgiveness that is granted. And God will hear our prayers. Notice there in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 7. Luke chapter 18 and verse 7. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? God is faithful in hearing our prayers if we will only pray with faith. Psalm 50, verse 15. The psalmist says the same thing. God is ever ready and willing to hear our prayers. And there's a reason why James says in James 5:16 that the righteous prayer of a man, or the prayer of a righteous man, avails much, accomplishes much. That righteous prayer, or the prayer of that righteous man, is a prayer that is prayed with faith, with conviction, with the knowledge that God is going to give and act as He has promised. So I want to leave you with this thought. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. What can separate me from the love of God? What can separate me from the presence of God? No one but me. You can't take away my salvation. I can give it up. And I'm going to cite this passage to make this very important point, that not even the devil on his best day, with the best demons on their best horses, can take your salvation away. You have to give it up.
Amen.
But I want you to also think about this, that we won't be tempted with things that aren't tempting to us. We're going to be tempted with whatever is a true temptation for us. And we decide to give it up, or give in to sin. So Romans 8 and verse 37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present or things to come or powers, nor height nor depth nor any other thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. A prayerless Christian is a perfect target for the devil.
Amen.
A prayerless Christian is going to crumble. A prayerless Christian is going to see society, see what's going on around us, and say, how can I go on living in a world that's full of sin, and hatred, murder, and lust? A prayerless sin is going to start questioning if God indeed exists. Because if He did exist, why do all these things happen? That's the devil coming after you. That's why I'm telling you that prayer is the battleground where you will do all of your important battles against the devil. But if the prayerless Christian is the devil's playground, guess what a prayerless church is? The same. I'm asking you that for today, you add more time to your prayer than you normally do. If you're accustomed to praying when you wake up and accustomed to praying when you go to bed, and the habit of saying two or three prayers for your meals throughout the day, I'm asking you to add more prayer. For today at least, just one day. And pick the thing that you really need to pray about. That thing that you're struggling with the most. And I'm saying pray like we read about this morning, with an Abba Father attitude. With, I'm able to go to my daddy, my father, and pour everything out to him. Do that for yourself, for the Lord's church. Because we do live in a broken world. My prayer has been for a long time that those of you that are sitting in our audience that are not Christians, that you become one. And I know that God hears my prayer. And I know that He's given you every opportunity to obey the gospel. The only thing that separates you from having a relationship with God is you. So why not confess your faith in Christ and become a Christian by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Right now, as together we stand and sing.